I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and tragically unacknowledged MVP of the self-checkout line, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Soren Bowie. Soren, in what ways are you not appreciated enough? 30 seconds on the clock.
Hey, my name is Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. I feel like I do a great job out in public of picking up trash conspicuously. I also think that I am pretty darn good when I get to the front of a line of knowing exactly what I need to be there for.
15 seconds.
Also on airplanes. I'm an MVP on airplanes.
Oh yeah? Talk about that.
Okay. From the moment I get on, I know already, first of all, I'm not going to wait in that big stable of old ponies trying to get on the plane all at once when they know that their zone isn't there yet.
Yeah.
I don't go up there until I know it's my time. Then when I get on, when I get in, I'm sitting there, but I'm also aware. I've got my head on a swivel because there are going to be people coming in who want to get their bag up, and they have, for whatever reason, packed a bag that they themselves cannot lift over their own heads.
Yeah.
And so I'm just waiting for that. I'm waiting for that opportunity. I'm seeing like, who? Oh, let me get that for you. And people are always like, are you really? You do that for me? in a way that like that, what was your other plan? You didn't have anything else. I'm the guy who's going to be lifting that bag up there. You knew I would be here. Let's get rid of the charade and let's just charade.
No, I love it. I love it.
And I will do it for you. And in lines, I think that one of the most important things we can do as a civilization, whether you're in your car or you're at a Burger King or whatever you're doing, that when you're in a line, you have a plan for what you're going to do when you get to the front of that line.
Correct.
Just have a plan, any plan.
Now, are you when was the last time you checked a bag on a flight? Has it been a while?
We check all the time. Yeah, we check a lot because of our children.
I almost did for this show a PSA about what to do when you check a bag because there was a time in our lives when we thought doing PSAs would be a regular function of this show.
Yeah.
And I think we did two and never again.
Yes.
Because it drives me bonkers. People hugging the baggage claim carousel. And if we all just back up and give a nice 5-foot buffer, we will all see our bags. We don't need to jockey for position. Just back up and wait. Your bag will come. No one is going to steal your bag because that is such an insane crime to do. So don't worry that your bag is going to get stolen if you're not fast enough.
Well, also, the difference between two steps isn't going to change whether your bag gets stolen, even if that was like a rampant crime. Your bag's not going to get stolen any faster because you're two steps away from the carousel.
Right.
I'm totally with you. The fact that everyone hugs it is maddening.
It drives me nuts.
Tell me about the self-checkout.
I'm just so good at it. I'm just so quick at it. And I feel like customers behind me should say something. Someone should say something. Someone should applaud me. As like, hey man, you
hustled.
You really got through that. Because I see so many people who are so slow and it also drives me nuts. Because self-checkout is not for you to explore the scanner gun and it's not for you to like dilly-dally. It is designed for us to move quickly with a few items.
I think this might frustrate you, but I think a lot of people are slow on purpose in that line because their position is, I'm not trained. I'm not a trained cashier, but you're asking me to do that job. So now I'm going to make it miserable for you. And so they're going to go slow. They're going to try to take up as much time. Their idea is that as long as other people are complaining, hey, their job is done because the store has thrust this job upon them. They didn't ask for it.
What are things like in LA? I've not been to a place where self-checkout has replaced cashiers entirely.
Yeah, there are places where there's like one lane open and then there's just self-checkout.
Oh.
And I think people go and use it, and like the more time that they take and the more confused that they seem, the easier it is to steal, because then they've got, at the end, if somebody was to question them, they'd be like, well, I don't know. It was just so confusing.
Man.
I think that there's a lot of people taking up time because they've got ulterior motives.
Well, it's not working. Whatever your mission statement is, slow people in self-checkout, it is not found purchase in my brain. Instead, I just think you're slow and an idiot.
Yeah, I'm with you. And in fact, the self-checkout at Whole Foods, I know so well that I know exactly that it's going to ask me three questions before it even asks me if I want to use my card or not. Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be these other things like, are you dining here? Which I'm not sure how that fucking matters or is any of their business, frankly. And then it's going to ask me a couple other things that are like useless. But I know that everybody else would have to be like, oh, I was ready to use my card. What is this now? And then they have to read the screen and then they have to choose.
Yeah.
And I know the positions of the buttons. I'm with you. I'm like, the faster I get out of there, the easier it is for everybody in the world.
Yeah. 100%. And there's no one to tell me that I'm a good boy and I'm doing a good job. And
Daniel.
I just, hey.
Daniel.
Yeah, what's up?
You're a good boy and you're doing a good job.
Thank you so much. That is all I wanted. That's it for our show this week. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already.
Well, Daniel, how have you been lately? Let me start with this first. And this is a question that I ask because I don't totally care, but I'm going to get to like I'm feeling. But go ahead. How have you been feeling?
I'm good. I've been feeling pretty good. I told you I recently moved. I moved back in May, but then I spent all of June in Los Angeles. So I still feel like a pretty new tenant in my current place. And yesterday, I hung out with a bunch of my neighbors, and it was delightful. And I got to know people, and it was so fun.
Can you give me like a mean age in that group?
A mean age? Probably not. The mean age would not give you any information because there are a lot of kids who summer here where I live.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's the demographic skewed from the kids that are all there summering.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun, actually.
It is. Yeah.
Did you guys drink?
Yeah.
Oh, look out.
I don't know why I paused. Yeah, we did. We just like sat out and looked at water and drank and talked about all of our dogs.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And did you guys get crazy?
No.
Ah, okay. Next time.
How was that the right answer?
I was just a guy who's super excited to hear about your drink. Next time. You'll get them next time, man. It's going to be fun. Well, that's good for you. Congratulations. And you've been feeling healthy? You've been feeling good?
I have, yeah. I went to a gastroenterologist recently just because I've had like persistent stomach problems for a very long time. And I wanted some kind of clarity on what the fuck is going on with my body. And I got my blood tests back today. And I'm devastated to say the results are either normal or excellent. I have no further clarity on why I sometimes get cramps and terrible stomach follow-up issues.
Well, Daniel, it turns out I might be the type of person who could help you.
Oh?
Yeah, because I am, as of recently, a medical professional.
Oh, that's so exciting. I mean, yeah. We all develop strikes during the hobby. Jesus fucking Christ. Nope. Gabe, we're going back. We all develop hobbies during the strike, so I'm thrilled that you got your degree finally.
Oh, no. Sorry. There's no degree. I'm just a medical professional. I'm good at this. Like a golf pro. Uh-huh. He doesn't get a certificate. He's just all of a sudden good at it.
Sure.
And I'm very good at this.
Okay.
Do you want me to lay it out for you what happened?
Please.
Okay. The night was a Monday.
Oh, my God. Skip ahead.
I got really sick last week. I started on Monday, and I got a fever. And then I got really bad chills. And then I couldn't get rid of the fever. Like, even when I would take medication, I couldn't get rid of it. And it was just day and night constant. Bad, bad chills that I couldn't sleep through. And they were, like, racking my body. Like, it was I was in pain because I was I was tremoring so badly.
Oh, my God. Where was the pain?
My back and my stomach, like, my ribs. Like, just in places where, like, if you were to vibrate your body as much as you could, like all the places you would get very achy. And then just general, like the fever achiness too. Uh-huh. And I could get rid of the chills. If I took enough ibuprofen or I took enough acetaminophen, I could get rid of the chills. But I could not drop the fever. And then it started to climb. Like if it started out the first day, it was like 100. And it was like constant all day long. I didn't have breaks. And then it grew. It got to be like 101. Then the next day is 102. Then it got up to 104. And I was like, this is not good. Adults are not supposed to have fevers of 104. No. I'm going to go to urgent care. So I went and I was like, this is weird. Here's my symptoms. I don't have anything else. There's no cold. There's no sinus stuff. There's nothing in my lungs. None of my family have this. I'm just crazy sick with a fever and very bad chills. And they took my temperature and they're like, oh, Jesus, you have a fever of 104. And the doctor goes, what are you, six? That's pretty good. It's pretty good. And so they give me medication to try and like lower it. I could get it lower than 104, but like it wouldn't go away. You never get to that point where, you know, like a fever breaks and you get really sweaty and you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like there it is. There's my body doing what it's supposed to do. It never got to that point. I could just drop it a little bit. And so they're like, all right, chest x-rays, nothing in your chest. We're going to do a COVID test, a flu swab. They did a blood panel and they're like, and after the blood panel, that's when things got crazy because the doctor came back in. He's like, this is fascinating. And I was like, oh no, what's fascinating? He's like, your white blood cell count is also very low right now. It's like you're not sick.
Okay, here's what's nuts. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
To interrupt your story, yeah. I lied before when I said everything in my blood test was normal or excellent. There was one thing that gave the doctor pause, and It was my white blood cell count being a little bit low. Yeah.
Really?
Not enough that it like alarmed him or anything like that. He was just like, this is the one thing I found. Your white blood cell count is a little bit low. Otherwise, you're fine.
You're just not fighting shit. I think that you're like... And honestly, I think everyone's probably is about there right now because it was such a bad, bad winter for everybody that like white blood cell counts on vacation. Like it worked so hard. I was low on that. And he's like, ordinarily, if we have somebody who has like a bacterial infection and that's why they would have a fever like this, we'd also see a pretty spiked white blood cell count. And we're not getting that from you. He's like, I don't know what this is.
Is it time for you and I to revisit Osmosis Jones for the podcast?
Is it a banger? We don't remember.
It's probably not. Chris Rock as Osmosis Jones and I want to say Bill David Murray? Hyde Pierce as his buddy. And Bill Murray is the live action.
As a zookeeper.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're like, here's what we're going to give you this shot. And it's the shot of basically like an antibiotic cocktail. It sucks hard. It's a shot where they're like, I lift up my shirt and they're like, no, we have to do this in your haunches. And I was like, wow, what is that?
The doctor said haunches?
The nurse said haunches. So she made me lay down on the table and I pulled down a portion of my pants. And she's like, she said, this may sting a little, which was the understatement of the century. This long ass fucking spine type of needle where it had a yellow viscous fluid in it that she injected into me. That part was not so terrible. Like the needles, you know, I'm bad with that, but I got over that. That was fine. whatever this was, when it entered my body, was so fucking painful. It was just like me writhing there. And she's like, you got to lower, you got to straighten that leg. You got to get it flowing through you quickly because it's going to be painful. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, I'm going to get you an ice pack. And I'm like, so why can't they give that to you in the arm? She's like, well, it's because it's such a big dose of whatever this stuff is. It would make your arm unusable for the rest of the day. It would just be numb and like you wouldn't be able to like lift it.
But you're pitching against the Yankees tonight.
that's why she gave it to me in my haunches. And so it was awful. It's like some like big antibiotic, and they'd give it. And basically I went and looked it up, and it covers everything from like sexually transmitted diseases to meningitis. It's just like this gamut.
Yeah.
It runs the gamut, I mean. And so I'm like, all right, great. Surely that will fix it. And I go home and I go to bed and wake up with the highest fever I've had yet.
What was it?
105.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I was like, this isn't good for my brain. So I'm like putting like a cool compress on my head, just being like, I don't want to suffer brain damage because of the stupid fever that I can't figure out. And so I'm lying there and I can't sleep or anything because it's so bad, and I'm just shivering and like trying to keep the rest of my body warm. And I'm like, there's gotta be something I'm not thinking of. And then it came to me, Daniel. Your boy Soren Bowie was recently lake people in Wisconsin, and along with lake people there are insects that like little parasites that attack lake people. And I thought, wait a second. When I took the Band-Aid off from my butt shot, I noticed that I also had a little bite below that. And I went and looked in the mirror again, and I was like, that thing has kind of like a bullseye design to it. It was like a red in the middle, and then it had like a ring around the outside of it. And I was like, that's specific to ticks. And so I was like, I'm going to go look up what Wisconsin warns against in terms of tick-borne illnesses. And there are a few of them. There are like three of them. There's Lyme's disease. There's another one called Ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis. And then there's another one. And the other one was like, immediately I was like, that's not what I have. But between Lyme's disease and Ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis, I was like, holy shit. These are all exactly my symptoms. It was high fever, chills, sometimes nausea. I wasn't really getting that. Mm-hmm. And then the white blood cell count doesn't jump. And I was like, I think I fucking have this. And it was like, and if it's not treated, it can be like some terrible things can happen, including death.
Oh shit. And that's the big one.
Yeah. That's the one that I didn't want. And so I was like, okay. In the middle of the night, I told Colleen, I'm going to the ER and I'm going to go see if they'll test me for this. She's like, okay. So I leave, I go to the ER.
Okay.
Okay, go then. Go. I'm sleeping.
Don't wake me up for this bullshit ever again.
Yeah. Oh, and Soren. Yeah, and Soren. If you ever wake me up for something as fucking silly as this in the future, I'm gonna be very upset the next day. So I go to the.
You read on the internet that you might die. Yeah. Go. Get out of here. Go away.
Yeah. The fact that she was so supportive when I was like, I read something on WebMD that I think I have when doctors couldn't figure it out. So I go there. I finally get to see a doctor. ERs, you don't take forever. And I see a doctor and I'm like, here's what I think I have. And I show her on my phone because I don't even know how to pronounce it. She's like, yeah. I mean, that sounds in line with your symptoms. Can I see the bite? And I'm like, yep. And I show it to her. She's like, that's definitely a tick bite. I've never actually seen one in person, but that is definitely what it looks like from my times in medical school, when I like looked at it in books in my time in medical school.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, I don't know what you have though, and we can't test for it here. So you're going to need to see your primary care physician. In the meantime, I will give you this drug called doxycycline, which is like what they give for all those tick-borne illnesses. And I'm like, cool. Sounds good. So she prescribes it to me. I start taking it that night, immediately have terrible side effects from it. It's got like these different things. Like I got very nauseous from it.
Sure.
Then there's another thing you can get from it called intracranial hypertension.
Which tight, means tight head.
Yeah, buddy, your brain swells.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Can I also say, as a brief sidebar, it's insane to me that a doctor would say, I've never seen a tick bite before. I don't know if this is just a
A very candid doctor.
A symptom of where I grew up, but ticks are just everywhere in New Jersey. Like, we would run and play. We would spend all of our time in the woods and then would know to come home and mom would check our hair for ticks because there were just so many. It was like a part of my summer life was the daily tick check.
Yeah. I mean, me too. We had deer ticks growing up. We had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Like, there were things you had to look out for. And our dogs, constantly we'd be like burning them off of our dogs.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, it was customary you came home. And I think maybe that's part of the reason that this was so hard to diagnose in LA is because they're just, I guess there's no fucking ticks here.
They don't have them? Huh.
Yeah, they don't do it. They're not invented here yet.
Yeah.
And so the doctors didn't even think to look for that. They weren't asking. Oh, you know, a doctor did ask me at one point, have you been anywhere weird? Earlier on, he's like trying to figure out what this was. And I was like, yeah, I was in Minnesota and Wisconsin. He was like, I was really hoping for more like South America. So
everyone's trying to be Dr. House. Everyone's trying to find the Brazilian translation of walnuts.
Meanwhile, I fucking house this situation, Daniel, and I want the credit that I deserve for this because I deduced it in my feverish state, figured out what I had when doctors were scratching their heads. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got my doxycycline. I go on it. It's really rough at first, and it was a real low moment for me the next night after I had taken my very first dose. Couldn't sleep because I've like the worst migraine of my life and feels just like pressure in my brain. And I can't lie down because I get very sick. And I'm just like out of the fucking frying pan and into the fire. There's no way I can do 10 days of this.
Yeah.
And this is very special. So a primary care physician in Los Angeles, the idea that you would get an appointment with your primary care physician within like a week is that's like winning the lottery. That doesn't happen. You get to see your primary care physician maybe the next season if you make an appointment. And I didn't get to see my primary care physician, but I got to see his assistant, which was, just chef's kiss. Wow. Like, that I even got in there. I know, incredible, right?
Tom Hanks' cousin, amazing.
And she ran like 5 blood panels and just like I got that on Friday, still waiting for the results of that, but I've continued to take this doxycycline in the meantime. And some of the side effects have subsided, but I also don't have the fever anymore. And like, I'm back, like my energy levels are better.
You sound good.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I was on the verge of something terrible. And I was getting to a very dark place too, because I just, when you can't shake a thing like that, you're like, well, I'm tagged by death at this point. Like,
yeah,
something.
And I think we've talked about this before, but you, for most of my life, have been not a sick person. You never get sick. You're incredibly healthy. You're so sick this last year. You were sick enough because you texted me last week that you were sick again. You had a high fever and you were texting me about it. And you're so sick that when I mentioned it to my girlfriend who doesn't know you, even she was like, he's been sick a lot this year. Like, she has no frame of reference except to know that you have been very sick for the last 12 months.
I have to like start to recalibrate the type of person that I am, that ailments befall me.
I know.
Now. And that's not who I used to be.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm hoping it's just like this is a bad 2023 and maybe everything changes, but you're absolutely right. I've been getting the weirdest, terriblest shit.
Yeah. And there's no pattern to it. It's not like you have been sick with the same thing over and over again. It's new each time.
I know. And it doesn't feel like it's me, you know, like I'm not putting myself in these situations. I don't think, but yeah, this was rough. And then it was the only nice thing was that after I had my blood panels and everything, that I'd been wearing a mask around the house around my kids and everything. Cause I was like, I tested for COVID, but this has got to be something like that. Mm-hmm. That I don't want to have to deal with them with this.
Yeah.
And when they gave me all the tests and everything, I was like, can I take my mask off around my family? And they're like, you've been wearing a mask?
That's some fun and very understandable ego shit of like, I definitely have the next COVID 100%. I have the new plague that we don't know about yet.
Yeah. I haven't been in a wet market lately, but I guarantee that's what I have. And so it was a nightmare. And then I'm like nearing the end of this cycle on these pills. And I'm just like banking on the fact that it's one of these fucking tick-borne illnesses, because that seems to be what's, it seems to be working as the drug for tick-borne illnesses for me. I think I had Lyme's disease, Dan.
Is that, no, that's not a thing that you have for a little bit and then it goes away, right?
That's a thing. Generally, if you don't treat Lyme's disease, there's three stages of it. There's the first stage, which is basically exactly what I had. Then it kind of goes away. And then all of a sudden it comes back, and it comes back way worse. And like, it hurts your joints and it hurts your like different organs and stuff like that. And then if you get all, and doctors have a very hard time like pinpointing it, like figuring out what it is. And then if you get beyond that, then it becomes like you can do some irreparable damage to your body. But yes, people get it for like years.
I thought it was a forever thing. Yeah.
Yeah. People get it for long, long periods of time unless it's treated. And I don't really know if this, I don't totally, you know, if it is Lyme's disease, if it's something I have for the rest of my life, I don't think so. I think if as long as you like treat it, you're fine.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway.
Were there any questions that the doctor or nurse asked you that you felt embarrassed to not have an answer for when you were like doing your check-in?
Like what?
I completely biffed on the entire family history portion of my admission. When I went there, I was like, hey, I've got chronic stomach problems. And like, are your parents healthy? I don't know. I mean, they're alive. We don't talk about family business with strangers. Shut up. Leave me alone.
Yeah. There was a portion where they're like asking, like, does your family have a history of heart disease? And I was like, yes, my uncle has heart disease really badly. Like, immediate family. And I was like, oh, no. No. But do you want to talk about my uncle? Because he's kind of a right wing nut. It's weird.
Yeah.
Do you think it's related?
I just get very defensive when doctors are like, what about your dad? How's your dad? He's fine. He's a fucking hero who provided for my family, worked a terrible job for 38 and a half years. You shut up. You salute him. He's the troops, basically.
He's the troops?
Yeah.
I do try to like immediately, because I never know if it's valuable information to them or not. Whenever I'm in the hospital for something and they're like, do you have any illnesses in your family? I'll be like, yeah, multiple sclerosis. And they're like, okay. Generally, that's the answer I get. Like, yeah. No, I mean like stuff that it might be actually genetic or like hereditary.
Right.
I'm like, yes, but I want to give you all of the information. And like, that's the hardest part when I go into an ER or a setting where I'm not with my primary care physician, where I'm like, I want to give them everything. I want to give them all the information up front, and I just want them to just fucking listen.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's what I'm experiencing. Here's how it's gone so far. Here are the things I think it might be. Like, I want to get through all of that. I don't want to, there's always this dance that we got to do where we're like, I tell them the very first thing, and then they're like, and have you checked your glands? And I'm like, yeah, that's like, I'm going to tell you that in 2.5 minutes. That's the 2.5 minute mark of the story. Like, there's different things that like, I know, I've done all the good things. Just trust that I'm somebody who has given you like a shortcut here.
Yeah.
I've done all the good things. Now let's get to like what this might actually be.
Yeah. And I think you and I are different in that I don't go to doctors often. That's a new thing for me to actually go to doctors. I have avoided them for a very long time, that I feel like I need to say in the beginning, listen, you don't know this, but it's really special that I'm here talking to you right now. So just let me say everything on my mind. Yeah. Because who knows when we'll have this chance again.
Mine comes from having gone to doctors so sparingly and every single time getting misdiagnosed that it became like almost comical how badly I was misdiagnosed. I came in with a sprained ankle once only because my mom was like, is it still turning blue? And I was like, yeah. She's like, you might have some circulation issues. You should go in. So I went into a doctor and I was like, showing the doctor, I was like, I sprained my ankle. He's like, what's this little scab over here? And I'm like, oh, that's old. That's not from the same thing. He's like, no, this is an infection from that scab. And I was like, it is? And he's like, yeah. And they put me on these antibiotics, this like drip of antibiotics for a fucking sprained ankle. And it was a sprained ankle. But he like the doctor convinced me it wasn't. Anyway, I end up dealing with these things where like, I just would get in there and then I'd wait for the questions from a doctor and be like, hey, he wants to handle it in his own time or she wants to handle it in her own time. I will give her all the answers that she requires, but I'm not going to give her more than that because she doesn't want to hear from me.
Yeah.
No longer how I treat doctors. Now I go in there and I'm like, just, I need you to just sit down and fucking listen for a second. Yeah. here's what's going on. Especially with a thing where like some of them had never heard of it. She was like, when I showed her anaplasmosis and ehrlichiosis, she was like, okay. She's like reading it from WebMD with me. And she's like, yeah, that all sounds like what you've got.
It's
like, yeah.
It's such a bummer how human doctors are that you don't leave doctor school knowing every disease that exists and what it looks like and how to treat it. That's such a bummer.
Yeah. I am impressed by doctors who are willing to, rather than being like, I'm going to go run some tests or like, I'm going to go look at results. And then they go like furiously Google it on their computer in their office. I am really appreciative of doctors who just tell me they're going to go do that. Like when Gilly bit through her tongue, doctor looked at it and she's like, okay, I don't really know what to do here. I'm going to go look it up because I want to see if we should stitch it or not. I'm not really sure if you stitch tongues. And I was like, okay, thank you. You don't know. I don't know. Like, let's do this together. You probably have access to better links as like LexisNexis than I do. You go fucking look it up on yours. And she came back. She's like, no, it's actually more dangerous for us to put her under. Like, there's more complications associated with that than just letting it try and heal on its own. And I'm like, yes, you looked it up and you did it all right. And thank you for just telling me.
Did I ever tell you I bit a piece of my tongue off? Did we talk about that when the Gilly thing happened? No.
No.
I was a kid. I was on like monkey bars and a girl was like tickling my armpits as I was on the monkey bars to like, because it was at that age where we don't know the line between flirting and being mean. So she was ruining my day tickling me to get my attention. And I fell off the monkey bars and bashed my chin into my knee when I landed. And I bit the tip of my tongue off and like spit it out at the pool club. Fuck! Yeah, it was real bad.
That's so bad, man.
We just did nothing for it. Like I was there with my mom, who is a nurse, and she was like, yeah, that's a thing you did. Tongues grow back or they don't. We don't know.
Well, your mouth just heals so fast.
Yeah.
That's like when I saw into Gilly's tongue, cause like she had done it at school. She was no longer crying or anything, but she was home and we're eating dinner. And she's saying her mouth hurts. But I'm like, well, let me see it. Like, let me see your tongue. And she happened to like stick it out of her mouth in such a way that it flexed it strangely. And I could see all the way inside of her tongue. Like it was halfway through her tongue. And I was like, oh, we're going to the doctor. Colleen was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can see into her tongue. It's bad. It's bad. We need to go get that stitched. Like, we need to fix this. And it looked just like, you know, like you don't want to see things you're not supposed to be seeing, like deep into a muscle. But they were much cooler about it at the hospital. And they're like, this will probably be sealed up in 2 days. And I was like, okay.
Man.
There's another thing about being sick, Daniel.
Okay.
That I think I want to talk about, but I'm worried that it's not as universal as I believe it to be.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
When you're sick, especially with like a fever, have you ever noticed how polite your penis is? And by that, I mean that it's just like, look, man, I see you're going through a lot. I'm just going to stay out of your way. Like, I don't want to make this any harder for you. I don't want to make this any tougher for you than it already is. We can kick it when you're done here, but like, you've got a lot going on and I don't want to get in the way of that. It's going to be like, I'm not even here. And then it does this thing where it like backs up into your testicles. Not like it like absorbs back into your body, like when you're cold or you're like a firework or something. Like it like backs up into your testicles, like someone standing on the ledge of a building, just trying to get as flat as possible.
Uh-huh.
And then just like hangs out there. Does that ring true for you?
Soren, it gives me tremendous pleasure to tell you that I have no idea what you're talking about.
my penis.
All I want to do is give you more rope. Keep going.
It's trying to be innocuous, like, and like very, like a very good roommate. Like, it's just like trying to like get out of the way. So
is it normally?
I mean, it's in the way a lot.
You have a job and a family.
But it's, first of all, it, like, it will, all sexuality is gone from your brain, obviously, right? Like, sure. That's not an issue at all. It's not doing its normal things where, like, occasionally you just, like, you'll wake up and you're like, oh man, I got an erection. Like, you're not, none of that's happening. But also, in addition to that, it's doing this thing where it's just like, it's like trying to make itself as flat as possible up against your body. But, oh, up against your testicles, I'd say.
God.
You're not getting that. Isn't registering for you.
Absolutely not.
I would say that testicles are the opposite. They're like a nuisance when you're very sick. Like, they are, first of all, when you have a fever and like your body's very hot, that you're at full sail. Like, there are no creases in that canvas, right? And so that just means that you've got like these boiled eggs on you all the time, where like, you're like, when you're sleeping, they're somehow always on you. They're like a bad bedmate. Like, you can't, they're rolling around on you all the time. And you're just like, get away from me.
Yeah.
I feel like the penis is very the opposite, where it just like backs up. It's just like, I'm going to get out of your way. This is a narrow hallway and I'm going to just hug the wall.
Right. It's like a supporting actor in a TV show where it's like, hey, it's Breaking Bad. Jesse, we don't actually need you in this episode. So you're like
right.
This is just a Gus episode. So like, don't even worry. You don't have anything to do. It's fine. We'll take care of you later, but you're not needed right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you've got to be in the background. You've got to still be there, but like, don't chew the scenery. Don't make any decisions as an actor.
Yeah. Just your name's on the call sheet.
Just stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And you know your job, and like, okay, I get it. I'm just supposed to be back here. I just have to exist. And like, that's all it's doing. It's like, and barely even that. And I love it. I love that it does that. I found myself so many times when I was sick being like, thank you. You're being very helpful.
Yeah. This is so much more about what you're like when you're healthy than it does about what you're like when you're sick. Like, this, I only have questions about like how much of your day is occupied, best case scenario, on a healthy day by your fucking dick and balls.
I mean, objectively in the way all the time, right?
No,
just like every other person. Think. I go to the gym. That's all I can think. Like, I'm like,
sure.
Are they sticking out? Like, what's going on? You have to wear such thin shorts when you're exercising.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm constantly worried. I'm constantly like, oh, you again. But not when I'm sick.
Good Lord.
Sorry that's not more relatable. I hope that maybe for somebody else out there, they're like, yes, yes. It even is like timid about peeing, you know, like it's like when I'm going to pee, it's like, are you sure you want to do this? And then it does it half-heartedly. I don't have like a full stream. Mm-hmm. It's like, it kind of like, it pees like it's trying to be quiet.
This is where I thought you were going with penis related questions when it comes to medical stuff.
Yeah.
Because when I got my blood test done a couple days ago, I knew I was doing that and I fasted in advance. And then when they took all my blood, the nurse was like, and now we need a urine sample. I was like, that wasn't discussed. Yeah. I didn't plan for that. And she was like, the bathroom is that way. And she gave me a cup and like was not sympathetic to the fact that I can't really pee on command. But I did because of her confidence. I think my stupid wiener understood like, hey, we don't need to go right now, but like, let's be serious. We're in a doctor's office, so you have to.
Just like psyching your body up in the bathroom, being like, okay, it's game time.
Yeah.
Look, we didn't ask for this, but here we are.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to go. You don't want to go. None of us want to go. But there's a woman on the other side of this door. And she's going to be so fucking pissed if I don't hand her some urine. So let's figure it out right now.
Whatever's in there, we're getting it out somehow. I had to do a urine sample there as well. And I was like, as I was peeing there, I was like, I came back out and I was like, hey, here's another thing. my stream's pretty weak while I'm sick. He's like, yeah, well, you're fighting 104 fever. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Don't have any idea what that means.
Those are connected.
And so, yeah, it's like,
you didn't think to tell the doctor, like, hey, divorced from all of my symptoms, my dick has been incredibly cooperative lately. Does that matter? Is that anything?
No, but I did think I should go tell the world this on a podcast. I should go talk to Dan about it and see if it's something he's dealt with.
Nope.
Sad to say it's not. I don't even know how else to explain it. It's like different than even being on a run. Like on a run, your dick is also very polite, but in a different way where it's like, it does this thing where it's like, I'm going to more or less be out of your way, but like, I'm not just, it gets like real, like really like tucks in, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
But this is not what happens with a fever. With a fever, I think because you're already so hot, he's like, well, I can't go in there. You know, I can't go in there. There's no AC. Yeah. And so he's like, I'm going to be out here and I'm sorry that I have to exist within this space, but I'm going to take up as little space as possible by just like, I'm just going to be like a lizard on a wall.
Good God.
I'm glad that we didn't do this one in person.
No, God almighty.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to end the show now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what we could do.
No, we should end it. Well, if you've been listening, this is Quick Question. I mean, if you're still listening, obviously. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the show at @QQ_SorenandDan. You can follow each one of us. You can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. Or you can follow me, Soren, at @Soren_LTD. We're on Blue Sky as well. You could find us there. But I don't actually know what our handles are. I think like Soren.Bowie or something
is,
easy.
Is the show on Blue Sky?
Oh, there's no way Michael got to that.
Or Threads? Is it possible? Awesome.
You can also find us, this is brand new, on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel where you can come and watch some of these podcasts as well. We've filmed some where Dan and I are in the same room together looking so old. And you can watch it at YouTube/@QQ podcast. I also want to thank the person you just heard, which is Gabe Harder. He's our sound engineer, our editor, pretty much all around great guy. And you can also find our theme song by Me Rex called Quick Question. You can also find some of their other music, merex.bandcamp.com, or wherever you listen to your streaming music.
And if your penis also does weird things sometimes when you're when you're feverish.
Not weird, please, not weird, polite.
Please tell Soren. Tell Soren respectful. Directly.
Tell me how respectful your penis is when you're sick. All right, goodbye.
All right, bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? How did I be? Remember what's it up to? If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time, yeah. I think you'll have a great time, yeah.